Tonight we start a brand new series on All Things Considered. Once a month we'll hear from people who've lived through wildfires, volcanoes, floods, and other acts of God. These people choose to stay in places where natural disasters return to their doorsteps again and again. Our series is called Braving Home, and it's based on writer Jake Halpern's book of the same title. Halpern visited the houses where these gutsy men and women tell their stories in their own words. We first visit Anne Howell in Princeville, North Carolina. Princeville was swallowed in the floodwaters of Hurricane Floyd in 1999.
The community of Princeville, believed to be the oldest all-black town in America, sits on the edge of the Tar River in North Carolina. In September of 1999, Hurricane Floyd broke through Princeville's dike and buried the town in 20 feet of floodwater. On a recent trip to Princeville, I visited the home of Anne Howell, one of the town's commissioners, and she recalled for me the night that her hometown disappeared.
My cousin, who had been down at the dike trying to sandbag, and my brother-in-law, they called me, and they said, "Anne, you better get your people out of there. We can't hold that water back. We can't keep it back." And so they got out, and we start going from door to door, banging on windows and doors to advise the people that they needed to vacate the property.
Soon, heavy black water was roaring into town, crashing through people's windows and bowling over tin trailers. Anne Howell and many of her neighbors narrowly escaped the oncoming tide and found refuge in a nearby parking lot.
People were walking from one car to the other, talking to their neighbors and families and friends, and children were crying. And Officer Fox talked with me, and I said, "We got to leave. We got to take care of business. We got to see about what's going on in Princeville." And he said, "I hate to tell you this, but there is no more Princeville." And I said, "Don't be joking with me." He says, "I'm serious." He says, "Commissioner, I'm really serious." I knew then that there wasn't any more Princeville at that time. I felt that Princeville was going to be a lost town. It was going to be underwater forever.
Several weeks later, when the floodwater finally receded, Anne returned to see the damage.
Everything was destroyed. It was just destroyed. And it looked like, well, you want me to answer you honestly? It looked just like Satan itself had gotten in there and just made a stew. Things that belonged in the kitchen was in the living room. Things that belonged in the bedrooms had floated down the hall and was in the office where I worked. And I never in my life seen anything like it. And I hope I never live to see anything like it again.
As Anne and I sit and chat at her kitchen table, the misty drizzle that's been lingering all day thickens and turns into a heavy rain. Anne glances uneasily out the window and then shakes her head. Finally, she continues with her story and recounts one of her lowest moments after the flood.
I could deal with it. I could deal with everything that I had seen in that flood, until they came to clean out my apartment. And they finally got to the piano to bring it out. It just folded. It just collapsed. It just folded. And that's when I really realized that I was not as strong in the situation as I had taken myself to be. And I broke down and I cried. I had really sacrificed to purchase that piano, and I know I never own another one.
Around the time that Anne was clearing out her destroyed house, the Federal Emergency Management Agency offered the town of Princeville a buyout, with one condition. Everyone had to agree. From the start, Anne was against it.
I mean, this is my life. Princeville is my life. And I had no place else to go. And I had no inkling of an idea how, but we knew that we wanted Princeville to continue to be Princeville, and we had to find a way. And so I was not going to vote for a buyout.
Ultimately, it all came down to a vote by the town's commissioners. Anne still recalls her feeling of relief after voting to rebuild.
You just sitting there and you feel like somebody is kind of winding you up with a thread or something, and you want them to hurry up and release you. You know, it's getting tighter and tighter. And finally, it comes down to that point on the agenda that you can finally relax because you made that humongous decision, and it has come to pass.
In a narrow 3-2 vote, Princeville's commissioners decided to stay. Shortly after this, Anne chose to move back to Princeville. At the time, the town was still in ruins.
When we came back, no street lights, nothing on. You couldn't see anything if it was not in your hand before your eyes, directly in your face. That's how pitch dark Princeville was over there. It was muddy, slimy. It was nasty. I wouldn't allow my husband to leave me alone at night in that trailer, not for any purpose whatsoever, to go across the street. It was just that dark, and the odor was foul over here.
In the ensuing months, civilization returned. Unearthed coffins were reburied, phone lines were restored, streetlights went on, and even the dike was repaired. And gradually, over the course of the next few years, the entire town is rebuilt. Anne's neighbors returned, and Princeville's population boomed. Still, despite all the semblances of normalcy, there are still moments when Anne worries.
It's raining, and they talk like it's going to rain right on through the week till the Saturday or Sunday. And I can't remove that. I can't remove the thought of the rain, because I know this is hurricane season. The mud on the trees, the slime on the trees, the slime on the yards, the look and appearance of the homes. It'll always be there, and therefore, when it rains, it just refreshing all of these memories.
You can see photos of Anne Howell and hear more of her story by going to our website, npr.org. Braving Home is produced by Jake Halpern and Ted Gessing. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.